You can think back to last Sunday's gospel. Peter was again the central figure, because in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus says to him, having asked, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" He says, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter, for once, then gets it right. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it is upon that profession of faith that we hear St. Matthew saying, Jesus founds his church, and the gates of the underworld will never hold out against it. Today's gospel picks up where last week's finished, because now Jesus begins to explain what it means to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he foretells his passion, that he must go to Jerusalem, because there in that city he will suffer and die and rise again. Peter then steps up and says, "Lord, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be." And with kind of the put down par excellence, we might say, Jesus says to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Wow. For the way you think is not the way of God, but the way of man and the ways of the world. If you fully understood what it means to make the profession of faith, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you would know that that means that I have to suffer and die and rise again. I have to fulfill the will of my Father. I have to take my cross and carry it and be crucified upon it, and 3 days later, I will be raised in glory. That's what it means when you make that profession of faith. You have to fully understand then that as you make that profession of faith, you are called, as are we, to be the Lord's disciples. But that means that we too have to carry our cross. We have to take that cross and continue the road to our Jerusalem, whatever that may be in our lives. We have to go wherever God calls us so that he can reveal his plan to us. But he asks us to be his disciples, just like he did of Jeremiah in the first reading. But now Jeremiah is not happy with what God is doing and the response of the people to his preaching. And so he says, I was duped, Lord. You kind of fooled me. And I decided there and then that that's it, I'm done. But the more I tried not to preach, he says, it was burning within me to proclaim who God is. During this past week, we celebrated the feast of St. Augustine, the great bishop and doctor of the church, and the very colorful life that Augustine led before his conversion. He says when he was trying to find who Jesus was, he had to first of all know who God was. And then God would reveal his Son to Augustine. Jeremiah knew that even in the midst of a struggle or the turmoil or the doubt or the worry or the fear or whatever it may be, God is still there with him because God has called him. Remember the beginning of the book of the prophet of Jeremiah? "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you came to be, I consecrated you." Jeremiah then says, "But I'm too young." God says, "Don't say you're too young. I've chosen you, and I will empower you. I will give you everything that you need so that you can preach my word, that you can reveal to the people who God is." So what might God be asking of us this night, or this time in our lives, in our faith, in our history? First of all, it is never to lose hope. No matter about how bad things get, God is always there with us. I will be the first to admit there are times when I can't find him. And there are times when I don't recognize him. But he is there. Because he said he would be. So why would I doubt? It's because at that moment I want the interaction with him to deal with whatever is going on in my life. But he's always there, ever faithful, ever true. And secondly, he says, if you make that profession of faith, you then have to go out and give witness to it. You know, in a few moments we'll stand and profess our faith. We profess our faith in God, Father, Son, Spirit, and the Church. But if we're not then prepared to go out and live that faith that we've just professed, why are we saying the words of the profession of faith? We have to then allow God to use us in whatever way he needs to, in whatever way he needs to share and break his word. Then he is going to give us the strength to do that. And we can't be the obstacle in the way. We can't say, oh no, God, don't do it this way. Do it this other way, or my way. I don't want God saying to me, and I'm sure you don't want him saying to you, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't want to hear those words ever from God, you know? But isn't that sometimes what we do? We put the obstacle in the way of what God is desiring. We don't think it should be this way. That's why Peter said what he said. Lord, no, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. But remember, just a few weeks ago, Peter wanted to stay on Mount Tabor, remember? The Transfiguration. Lord, it's great to be here. Let's build the tents. Let's stay here. And Jesus says, you still don't get it, do you? We've got to come down from Tabor, continue the path and the journey to Jerusalem, and then I will climb another mountain. And on that mountain, I will suffer and die for the salvation of the world. So let us ask God to help us not to feel that we are ever duped by him, because he's only ever told us, if you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross and walk with me. That's the bit that I think we sometimes forget. I've got to carry this cross by myself. God is punishing me. I deserve this. No. Carry our cross with him. And as we look at the cross and we see the suffering and the death of Jesus, we know that that had to take place in order that he could rise again. We can't go straight to the empty tomb without first going to Calvary. But we're not meant to stay on Calvary. You might choose to stay on Calvary. That is your choice. It's not what God desires. But you might choose that because of all the reasons I just mentioned. The cross, whatever it represents in our lives, always foreshadows something greater to come. When we're going through that cross, well, that's a different matter, isn't it? It's hard to see the glory. It's hard to see the empty tomb and the promises of God. But it is always there. Not that we've been duped, but we've been told by God what it is to be his disciple.